This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer. Today, we're talking to George Brawley of General Aviation Modifications, Inc. in Ada, Oklahoma. George, we've been reporting on your fuel, G100UL, for quite some time now. You've got 6 months of research behind you now on this fuel, a bit more maybe. Now it's time maybe to talk a little bit about the economics of producing this fuel, which at this point we can't write in stone, but maybe we can get some idea of it. I'd like to begin first by talking about what you view as the overall refinery market for that. By that I mean, are there a number of refineries that might or could be interested in producing this fuel?
All the existing refiners that produce avgas are relatively small in number, and they're scattered out geographically around the United States. There's less than 10 of them. The last number I heard was 7 or 8. And that's largely constrained because of there's only that number of refineries that still are willing to handle the tetraethyl lead and have everything in place and the permits and the personnel and the safety equipment and everything to handle the tetraethyl lead. With an unleaded avgas or an unleaded high-octane fuel for piston engines that does not have the lead content, it would seem fairly reasonable that a much larger number of refineries would be interested in manufacturing that fuel. And that's clearly within our intended outcome with this fuel is to try and open it up so that the fuel can be built to more refineries, and that ends up reducing the transportation cost to get it to the local airport.
With your economic studies in that regard, does it look like the low volume would interest enough refiners?
Refining on automotive fuel has not been a consistent profit center for the refineries. They'd make that up, of course, on their production, their oil production operations. But it turns out, as I understand it, that the avgas segment is the only segment in the refining industry that actually recently been making money. Yeah, it's a really small segment, but if you're in a business where the only segment that's making money is the avgas segment, it's not probably something you want to kick out the door in the next quarter's business plan. So, yeah, I think there's refineries that are interested in it. I think there would be other refineries that would be interested in it that are not now making avgas if they didn't have to worry about handling lead. So I think there's a realistic prospect that the number of refineries interested in building a premium octane fuel suitable for the airplane piston engine would increase. And there's other reasons to expect that, too, because right now you can't put a leaded fuel in a ground transportation or a marine transportation vehicle. And if there were a widely available, reasonably priced fuel that performed at the same level on full-scale engines as existing 100 low lead does, then I think the market expands, and that would be good for everybody in general aviation.
How does transportation figure into this? Let's suppose, for example, that because of the volume, only 6 or 7 refineries decide to do this, and obviously they have to transport that fuel all over the country. How does that impact it? Is it a major cost factor?
Well, it has to be. Let me give you an example. Recently I've sent you some data on fuels that were taken from two different FBO at our local airport here in southeastern Oklahoma. One of those fuels was brought to Ada from Houston, and the other of those fuels came to Ada from West Texas. Either way, it was hundreds of miles to get to Ada, Oklahoma. On the other hand, about 42 miles west of us is a small refinery that makes autogas. If that refinery was also able to make high-octane unleaded gasoline, then the transportation costs would obviously go down a lot.
And that supposes they would be able to reconfigure to make G100.
Yes, but keep in mind one of the things that we've been working so hard on over the last 6 months, we first figured out how to make a fuel that was buildable, and then we started looking at the lowest cost ways of trying to make that fuel. And we spent a lot of time and effort and money, frankly, doing that. But just like aviation gasoline, there's a lot of different ways of making 100 low lead. And it's almost startling to see the composition of some of these fuels and to see how different they are, even though they perform to the same standard. In a similar manner, there's several different ways to make G100UL out of different compositional streams. One way to make it, and it's probably a fuel that's not the most ideal fuel, but it's a fuel that meets the performance standards for a 100-octane fuel, one way to make it, it can be made out of material that's already found in large industrial quantities inside the fence of almost every refinery in the country. And so in that sense, those refineries all ought to be able to build this fuel.
And speaking of which, the formulation for G100 is still proprietary. The patents haven't been quite exposed yet, but it will be imminently, I understand.
Yeah.
So we're basically dealing with a fuel here that's primarily composed of high-octane avgas with additives that may include some aromatics?
Well, additives is the wrong characterization. This is not some magic, you know, pinch of pixie dust like tetraethyl lead. This is a compositional fuel, and the bulk of the fuel is made from traditional avgas types of hydrocarbons, petroleum-based hydrocarbons. There are other compositional components that are in the fuel that also come from traditional hydrocarbon streams or can come from traditional hydrocarbon streams inside the refinery. And it's the question of putting the right composition together to make the final product.
So let's get down now to discussing actual estimated prices of this fuel. Now, there have been some assumptions that it would have to be much more expensive because it's a more sophisticated fuel. Is that true or not?
I think the short answer is probably no, but there's more to the answer than just a simple no. When I try and look at this right now, I don't have all of the economic numbers. I've looked at some of the numbers. I've done some pricing. In terms of the actual cost per gallon, I can't see it ending up more right now in the least cost version of the fuel being something on the neighborhood of 50 cents a gallon or less to make the fuel over what's going into the cost of the fuel otherwise right now.
And what accounts for that cost at this point, and just looking at a kind of a rough estimate? What accounts for that additional cost if, in fact, it's there?
Well, in this fuel, one of the keys to this is you've got to start off with a really good avgas. And that means that the base avgas you start with has got more of the good stuff than the existing avgas does. And the good stuff costs more, even in the existing avgas, than the stuff that's not quite as desirable in the fuel. So the base cost of the premium avgas, if you will, that you start out with, in and of itself, is going to be somewhat higher than what the base gasoline is in existing 100 low lead. That's actually probably the largest part of the increase in the cost right there.
And you have to do that because you don't have the lead available for 7 or 8 octane points.
Yeah, you don't have the lead to bloom you up the 7 or 8 or 9 octane points that we traditionally enjoy the benefit of right now.
Is it possible that this fuel could be less expensive to produce than 100 low lead?
I don't know the answer to that. Is it possible? Yeah. Is it likely? I think it's not likely. But I also think it's not likely that it's going to be substantially more expensive.
Okay, and I know you're working on that. So thanks very much for speaking with us, George.
You bet.
We've been speaking with George Brawley of General Aviation Modifications in Ada, Oklahoma, on the subject of G100UL fuel. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.